Happy Easter. So I've been reflecting on these last few days. My mind goes back to Jesus' presentation in the temple, where Simeon tells Mary that her child is destined to be the downfall and the rise of many. And I think these last 3 days, the Holy Triduum, really is where the rubber hits the road regarding that prophecy. What Jesus calls people to is an extremely difficult life. Now, we just heard readings that kind of give us this very broad view of salvation history. It's very simple, people. God loves us very much. We rebel. God calls us back. We go back for an hour or so, and then we rebel again, and then God calls us back, and this is the whole cycle. It's a constant fall. It's a constant weariness on behalf of a broken people, but God never stops calling, never stops pursuing, never stops giving aids to help us do the right thing. And as that brief history and our own history shows, you can't force it. The faith is not spread by force and fear. God himself does not force, and there is no fear. People will sometimes use hell as the fear factor, but that's not it. God does not say, unless you love me, I'm condemning you to hell. God says, I'm here for you. When you and I choose no God, that's hell. Whether it be in this life or in the next. Standing away from God, walking away from, separating ourselves from God, is hell. It's the lack of God's presence that makes hell. It's not God pushing us down there, God angry at us, as a punishment. It's a free choice. And as I said, the brief history shows over time how we have tried, we as creatures, tried to force people. And I would say probably more often than not, it's out of pure motive. After all, who doesn't want to be with their loved ones for eternity? And so we do everything we can to set up structures and put things into place to try and help and encourage and support the choice of following Jesus. And so we get different kingdoms and princes and queens over history who enforce it upon their subjects. This will now be a Christian population or you will die. It didn't work. I mean, we can pretend, can't we? As I examine my own conscience, how often I pretend to be a lover of Christ. But if you heard my confessions, you'd know the truth. I can go through the motions, I can fool most of the people most of the time, but I can't fool myself and I can't fool God. And again, it isn't from, I don't think, bad motives as much as it is just simply turning my gaze away. And it only takes a minute, especially in our current culture. We have moved from an apostolic era. We have moved from a Christian era to an apostolic era. And this, again, is one of those up and down. It comes and it goes. There'll be waves where the Christians have actually done great work at establishing structures and whatnot to support, as I said, a Christian view of the world, an outlook and a way of life. But over time, it starts to decay. It falls away. We lose intention, and we simply just coast. We think we can inherit it, but God has no grandchildren. God only has sons and daughters, people who say, yes, I accept your love, I enter into your love, and I return your love. When we think about what's happening today, historically, 12 people followed Jesus, we heard the other night what happened to one of them. Even though he was chosen by God, he chose other. So what did the early church look like? 11 bishops, same number of priests. There were no deacons at this point. Trained theologians? None. Religious orders? None. Seminarians? None. Seminaries? None. Christian believers? A few hundred. Just a few hundred. We're talking days after this event. This is what we're talking about. Countries with Christians in them? One. Church buildings? None. Schools and universities? None. Written gospels? None. Money? Very little. Judas took most of it. Experience in foreign missions? None. Influential contacts in high places? Very few. Societal attitude toward Christians? Ignorant to hostile. Does this sound familiar to us? Not so much, because we have lots of buildings. We have lots of institutions that bear the name. But one needs to wonder what's going on inside those buildings. Again, it's an examination of conscience for this pastor. It's not enough to just simply build institutions and think that that's what makes Christians. It's not. What makes Christians are when people who have experienced what we're encountering tonight, what we're celebrating tonight, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, when they share their story. No amount of preaching from me or him is going to convert anyone. We can confirm, maybe encourage, support. But conversion is a choice based on personal experience and encounter with the living God. This is our work. As we celebrate our 75th as a parish, it's time for us to take inventory of our current culture, because we continue to see people fall by the wayside and we think we've done something wrong. Maybe we have, and maybe we haven't. St. Augustine said it was easier for God, in our first reading, to create everything out of nothing than it is for a sinner to repent. To create something out of nothing takes really nothing other than power on one side, God's side. But to convert a sinner takes two: the invitation, the offering, the gift, the death, and the acceptance, the resurrection. As we go through this beautiful night and celebrate what Christ has done for us, it's a great call. These early guys, they had nothing. And look at what happened. For 2,000 some years, saints upon saints upon saints upon saints upon saints. It isn't about numbers, but when you think of 2,000 some years, what 11 guys did, not all bad. But it does make us wonder what we're doing with what we have, we who have so much. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to really touch our hearts tonight, to give us that fire that we started the evening with, to burn within us, and to pass it along to others. Not by force and fear, not by threats, Oh, the devil's going to get you. Jesus conquered that. It's over and done with. We just have to accept him. Let's pray for that grace.